we are doing the Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is a work that distills the Talmud for its agadic, its stories and agadic natured paragraphs. And so we are now going to continue in the Ein Yaakov. We actually began the Ein Yaakov in the beginning of the Shas and Brachos. Now we've gotten to towards the end of Tractate Shamas. So we are holding in Masechet Shabbat, page Kuf Tet Vav, 115, the end of the page actually. Tino Rabbanan, when the Talmud says Tanu Rabbanan, the Talmud is telling us it is quoting a Tanaic quote. It's not a Mishnah, it's outside of the Mishnah. The word outside in Aramaic is Bira. Bira means outside. Milibar. Bar means to the exception of, outside of. So Biraita means a quote that's outside the Mishnah. Biraita. Biraita is a Tanakh quote that is outside of the Mishnah. Tino Rabbanan means the rabbis taught this quote. There were many quotes that were outside the Mishnah. But this is a quote that the rabbis of the famous academies actually verified as a legitimate quote. So whenever we have a braita that begins with the words Tanu Rabbanan, it's telling me this is a braita that was validated by the academies of either Rabbi Chiya or Rav Oshaya. Those were the two academies that sat on validating braisos. So Tanu Rabbanan means this is a braisa that has greater weight. It has undergone the distillation process of either Rabbi Chiya or Rav Oshaya's academies to ensure this is a good quoted, this is an accurately quoted braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. This is an intro. The Gemara just says the words Tanu Rabbanan. I'm just explaining what they mean. But yeah, we're on Kuf Tet Vav, the end of the page. Tanu Rabbanan, Vayhi Bintzo Aharon Vayomer Moshe. It says in the Torah, soon we're going to read it, Vayhi Bintzo Aharon Vayomer Moshe. When the ark would travel, Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem V'yafutzu Oyevecha. Rise Hashem, your enemies will scatter. So, it's as though Moshe gives an invitation for the presence of Hashem to start moving when we would actually start traveling in the desert. We would get a sign from Hashem, the clouds would start shifting, we'd understand it was time for us to move, and Moshe would give the instruction to blow the trumpets. The people would start folding up their tents, they'd fold up the Mishkan, and then the Levites would take the ark on their shoulder, and Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo yivecha, so to speak, a respectful invitation, Hashem, we are prepared to travel, arise, your enemies will scatter before you. So when we look in the Torah, you all have a Chumash in front of you. Let's open to the book of Bamidbar. And in the end of Parashat Behalotcha, in your Chumash, it's page 183. So you see the following. Moshe speaks to his father-in-law. He says, 183. Yeah. Okay. We look at the Hebrew side. Okay. So Moshe tells his father-in-law, come with us. And his father-in-law says, no, I have to go away. I have to go back to my family. And then Moshe begs him not to leave. Then it says they traveled 3 days' journey away from Mount Sinai. And the ark traveled 3 days' journey in front of them to prepare for them a place they would camp. Hashem's cloud was above them by day as they traveled. And then if you look at the bottom of the page, you have two upside down nuns. Right? You see one upside down nun. Vayhi Bintzo Aharon Vayomer Moshe. We have this description that seems to go in line. It seems to be a continuation of what we just read. We said that now they're traveling. And when they traveled, the ark would travel 3 days' journey ahead of them. And then you have this upside down nun, which describes that when the ark would travel, Moshe would say, arise Hashem, your enemies will scatter. Your enemies will flee from before you. And then when the ark would settle, so he'd say, Hashem, come to rest amongst the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Jews. You have another upside down Nun. And then it tells you a story. The nation started complaining, and Hashem was upset at them, and a fire burst out in the camp, a godly fire. And the nation came to Moshe, Moshe prayed, and the fire got buried. So it seems to be one story. We left Sinai. This is what Moshe would do when the ark would travel. And the nation complained, and there was a fire, a godly fire. Says the Gemara, Parsha Zo, this Parsha, these two verses that describe how the ark would travel, Asala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simaniot Milemala U Milemata. Hashem taught us that when we write in the Torah, we write an upside down Nun in the beginning and an upside down Nun at the end of these two verses. It's as though it's parentheses. It's denoting that these two verses are separate from what preceded and what came after it. Lomar, to teach us, She'ein Zo Mikoma, that this parsha doesn't belong over here. So our tradition is that really it doesn't belong here. This isn't a description of what was happening here. This is really a description of what would happen every journey. This really belongs earlier in the book of Bamidbar, where the Torah describes how we would travel. But Hashem had Moshe write it over here. It doesn't say why. It says it doesn't belong here. And Hashem told Moshe to write it here. Okay, we'll see in a minute. More information on this. Remi Omer, Lo min Hashem uze. Rebbe says, nah, that's not the reason you have those two upside down nuns. Really, it belongs right there where it's written, because now's the first time that we're traveling and leaving Mount Sinai. So this is really the first journey where the ark is with them. When they left Egypt, they didn't have an ark with them, right? They came to Sinai. At Sinai, they received the Torah. They did the golden calf. They got the commandment to build the Mishkan. They built the Mishkan and the ark. And this is the first time they're traveling when they leave Sinai. So this is really the right place to write this. So Rebbe says, Lo min Hashem uze. This isn't the reason that it has upside down nuns. It belongs here. It's not out of place. So then why does it have upside down nuns? Ela mipnei she'sefer chashuvu bifnei atzmo. Rebbe says, you know why it has those upside down nuns? It's here to tell you that those two verses count as a book in its own right. You know, there's the book of Bereishis, Genesis. Then there's the book of Shmos, names. What do they call it in English? Shmos, Exodus. Then there's the book of Vayikra, the first three books of Torah. Well, the fourth book is not one book. The fourth book is also three books. The book of Bamidbar, Numbers they call it, is really, says Rebbe, it's really three books, it's not one book. There's the book of Bamidbar up to the first upside down Nun. Then there's the book of Vayhi Binso Aharon. That's, those two verses are a book in their own right. And then there's the book of Bamidbar after those two verses. Three books in one. So how many books do we have in the Torah? We usually say five. Rebbe says seven. Right? Good riddle you could ask someone. How many books are there in the Torah? So, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, right? Chamisha Mi Yodeya. We sang at the Seder. Chamisha Ni Yodeya. No, Rebbe says Shiva. Yeah? Shiva, there are seven books in the Torah. Ela mipnei shesefer chashuvu bifnei atzmo. It is a book in its own right. Now the Gemara says, I'll show you that this opinion got accepted. Keman azna hadam Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani amar Rav Yonatan. We have a quote from Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani in the name of Rav Yonatan. You'll tell me which opinion does it go with. He said like this. It says in the Pasuk, the verse in Mishle, in Proverbs says, that wisdom chose to build its home. So when wisdom went to build its home, Chatzeva Amudeha Shiva, it prepared seven pillars for its home. So Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said, Elu shiva sifrei Torah. What does it mean that wisdom established seven pillars for its home? Those are the seven books of the Torah. Kiman, whose opinion is that like? That's Kirebi, that's the opinion of Rebbe. So you see, Rebbe's opinion on some level was accepted that the Torah is divided into seven books. Oh, wow. So you thought you knew something. Now you suddenly discover even what you thought you knew. It's not exactly the way we thought. Tosfos writes that the reason we call a book of Torah Chumash comes from the book, from the word Chamesh, five. But okay, over here, doesn't sound like that. Mantana de Paligale de Rebbe. Who is the Tana, the rabbi from the Tanakh period, who disagrees with Rebbe? Answers the Gemara, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. That is the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Who's the one that says that, you remember we began the Braisa, we began the quote, we said the reason it has upside down nuns is to point out to you that it should have been written earlier in the book of Bamidbar. It's written out of place. Whose opinion is that? That's the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Titania. Oh, now we're going to quote another Braisa. You notice that this Braisa, this Tanaic quote, does not have the words Tanu Rabbanan in the beginning. You remember, what does Tanu Rabbanan mean?
Confirmed by either Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yehoshua's academy.
Very nice. Rabbi Chia or Rav Oshaya approved it. And this is a Braisa that never got approval. No, it's another Braisa. Detanya, we have the following Tanakh quote. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel teaches. Atida parsha hazo. In the future, this parsha, these two verses, shete akel mikan. In the future, when all our worries will be gone, when we will no longer have the evil inclination within us, so then this parsha will become uprooted, v'tekatev bimkoma, and will be written in its proper place. It's written out of order. Hashem told Moshe, write it here. But really, in the future, it will be written somewhere else, in its right place, in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar. V'lama nichteva kan. Wait, why was it written here? We heard it's written in the wrong place. We heard in the future it will be written in the right place. So why was it important to write it here? What does that accomplish? We understood it's not the right place. So why was it written here? Kedei lehafsik min puranut rishona lepuranut shnia. In order to separate from two descriptions in the Torah of bad things that happened. Puranut shniya mahi. What's the second problematic bad thing that happens? Well, we know. It says vehiam kimitonanim. The nation was complaining, and a heavenly fire broke out because they complained against Hashem. Puranut rishona. What was the first thing that was wrong? What was the first bad thing? It sounds like nothing bad happened. It says they traveled. And then it describes how Moshe spoke when the ark was going to travel, and then it says they complained. So what was bad? What was the first thing that was bad in that story? What did you need to separate? Oh, Vayisum Har Sinai. It says they left Mount Sinai. You left Sinai? You should never leave Sinai. Sinai is something you take with us. V'amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina taught Shesaru Macharei Hashem. They didn't just leave Sinai. It's the guy who walks out of yeshiva and says, keep my yarmulke. What do you mean, keep my yarmulke? So he didn't just leave. He left. And he left what was there behind. He says, the yeshiva stays there and I move on with life. No, you don't. You take the yeshiva with you. That's the Hashem says right away, write down how you carry the ark with you wherever you go. The Jewish people left Sinai and they left with the wrong attitude. Good, okay, we can move on now. No. This is an experience that should be with you your whole life. So Hashem tells Moshe, take it from the Torah, write the upside down nuns, write away, write down how the Torah goes with you wherever you go. Write down over there, Vayhi bin Soah Aharon. because it's supposed to go with you. Shesaru machrei Hashem. Vechan mekoman, where was it really supposed to be written? Bad Galim. In the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, where we have the description of how the Jewish camp was formed with the flags, that's where it should have also been described, how the ark would travel. But being that the Jewish people left Sinai and there was something wrong in their attitude, so Hashem says right away, write down how you carry the ark with you wherever you go. Yes? Okay. So, now I have a question. There are three types of learning you do. There are a few types of learning you do at Machon Meir. The first type of learning you're doing here is you're getting tools. You're learning Hebrew. You're learning grammar. You're gaining tools. So those are tools to facilitate learning. Then there's information. If I just read and explained the Ein Yaakov, you didn't get that many tools on how to learn Talmud, even though I translated and I explained what Tanu Rabbanan is, etc. But I explained what the word bra and brisa, but you didn't get that many tools. The focus of our class until now was about information. So we should know in our studies there are, we described until now, two types of learning. There's getting tools and there's getting information. I suggest that you divide your time intelligently when you're in Machon Meir between those two. Sometimes a person wants to learn the parsha and he's going to invest a lot of time reading Rashi in Hebrew. So he's working on tools, but he should realize that he's forgoing a lot of information. He might be better off covering the parsha every week in less time in English because he needs the information. Learning Hebrew is a tool, you need it. But learning parsha is information and you need that. So that's something to think about with your rabbein. Sometimes people spend a lot of time and they think they're getting information, they're really working on tools. Well, you have to divide up your time here. You need tools, you also need information. You have to see how to divide up your time. But the third thing which you should be acquiring here is also good habits. There are good learning habits, which hopefully you're learning here. One of those habits, which we try to do, is also to review what we've learned. If I personally were learning this Gemara right now, what would I do at this point? I would review what we just learned at least 6 times. I would not move on without reviewing it. Seems like a simple piece? Okay, so let's ingrain it so that we take it for life. If you review it now, so then it's easy to review. It takes a short amount of time. If you wait until tomorrow or the next day when you've forgotten it and it becomes more intellectually stimulating to review, because you already started forgetting, well then you didn't really learn it well the first time. It's important that when we learn something the first time, we take some time and review, what did I just learn? So we will do review number one together right now, and the rest is up to you. We can't take that much time of class time to do that. However, I do recommend you try to get into that habit to review things and solidify your understanding of them. So we learned the Braisa, that these two verses of Vayhi Binsua Aharon have markers in the beginning and in the end to denote this isn't where it should be written. That was the first opinion written in the Braisa, and the Braisa states it plainly, what's called Stam. The Braisa doesn't identify whose opinion it is, it just makes a statement. Rebbe disagrees. He says the markers are not because it's out of place, the markers are there to tell you that these two verses are considered a book in their own right. And that would mean that there's the book of Bamidbar before these two verses, and there's another book of Bamidbar after these two verses, and then there are these two verses, which would make it 7 books of the Torah. The Gemara quoted that Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Rav Yonasan that that's the interpretation of the verse that wisdom established 7 pillars for its home. That's the 7 books of the Torah. That's in accordance with this opinion of Rebbe. We asked, whose opinion is it that argues on Rebbe, that says there are 5 books of Torah, that this parsha is really written out of place? The Gemara answers, that's Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who says in the future, these two verses will be rewritten in their proper and their appropriate places. They are written here to separate between 2 bad things that happened. Number 2 is the nation was complaining. What's number 1? Number 1 is that they left Mount Sinai. They didn't just travel away from Mount Sinai. They left Mount Sinai. They wanted to leave that connection with Hashem. And that's why the Torah Hashem instructed Moshe to write in the Torah these two verses over here, the idea that the Shekhinah is with the person wherever he goes. Really, where should these two verses have been written? In the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, when we have the description of the flags, the way the Jewish camp was set up. So that's a quick review of what we learned today in the Ein Yaakov.